like you to lift up your voice to him and give him glory. It is a privilege to be numbered in him. Give him glory. Give him glory. Give him praise. Worship him. Worship him. Worship him. We give you glory. We give you praise tonight. As we come into your presence, we ask, oh God, that your dew that rejuvenates, your presence that refreshes and revives, might come amidst us. We come with thanks on our lips. We come with praise in our hearts, giving you glory for the things that you have done during the course of this turbulent year. We ask, O God, that you accept our thanks tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. You may be seated. You are welcome. You are welcome. Just in case you came with a Bible, I will request that you turn with me to Psalms 106. You're welcome in the name of Jesus Christ. You're so religious today. Can you greet somebody? You're welcome. Oh my God. You're welcome in the name of Jesus. It's been a long journey. Hallelujah. Chief UK, you're welcome. Yesterday, on Monday, I had to go to Kaduna for a meeting. Dropped at the airport at about 12:15 a.m. The people that requested my presence came to pick me up. 30 minutes after we left, a bomb blasted and killed people. Just 30 minutes. Now, the truth of the matter is that you cannot be so wise as to have the capacity to secure and to ensure your life. We put this meeting together just for one purpose and one purpose only. To give thanks to God for his faithfulness and then to invoke his presence to secure us as we journey further. Now you need to pray for the people in that room. Please pray for them. This is not my voice. This is the voice of an old man. Oh my God. Hallelujah. We beckon on the intercessors to help the people in the studio. 30 minutes after we left the place, journeying out of the place, and there was a bomb blast, and people died. I just got ready to go for the meeting that I came for, and when we were about to be picked to the place, the information now got to me that a bomb blasted at so-so place. And there was no need for me to tell the guy that was bringing the information that we just passed by that place not too long ago. You cannot be so wise as to have the capacity to ensure your life. Meanwhile, it's not just your life that needs to be insured. Hallelujah. If you cannot be as wise as to ensure your life, then we are alive today because of God's mercy. Now, the Bible says a few things. You know, the Bible says that we know not how to pray as we ought to pray.
That means that even in invoking the help of God through prayer, we have a major handicap in that area, because we do not have as much knowledge as we ought to have that will facilitate an all-encompassing kind of prayer that will bring security to every aspect and facet of our lives. In the past 1 year, I have done so many journeys. If you know Lagos very well, there's a place called Antony. Antony is the barrack of criminals. And I was rushing to the airport 5 a.m. in the morning to meet up with the first flight out of Lagos. And when we got to Antony, our tire busted. You see, in Antony, somebody can come with a gun and hit you on the head. And our tire did not bust as Ojo Elegba. Our tire busted at Antony 5 a.m. in the morning. Daylight had not yet come. Even people that have stayed in Lagos for a long time understand that it is a bad day for you to find yourself in Antony stranded by 5 a.m. Hallelujah. And when I look around and I see the things that have happened to my own small life during the course of 1 year, you do not know, but most of the time during the course of this year, I was walking on the water. Wait. Walking on vessels clutched on the ocean. Sometimes the vessel, some demons can operate, and the rope that is used to fasten it, it begins to cut. And once one cuts, the six of them will cut. Then everybody begins to wear life jacket, and you don't have. Hallelujah. And you know, I can't tell my wife that. I want her to live long. And so sometimes when you begin to see the depth from whence the psalmist begins to speak about the necessity to give thanks to God, especially in some of the psalms, you begin to understand that this man has actually come to a depth of insight as touching the ability of God and the operation of God that many times we do not have knowledge of. Now, a young intercessor walked up to me and said, many times the Lord comes to her in the night time, takes sleep away from her eyes, puts upon her heart a need to pray, and she steps out and begins to pray. And she said, Pastor, do you know that if I can see visions, if God enables me a little further and grants me the ability to be able to see the burdens that I carry, see the things that I'm actually praying about, it will facilitate my prayer. Then I told her, you are lucky you don't see them. I assure you. Okay, you know, there are so many people here that want to be seeing things. Hallelujah. You are more fortunate if you don't see. If you just have the knowing that you need to pray, you need to address something, and you begin to address it. For a long time as a Christian, as a believer, I didn't used to see things. But a point came when God allowed me to see an enemy. We went to for deliverance. All right? And we prayed for this young lady. And after praying for this young lady, no. We were told about the case. So we were now preparing to come and pray for her. So we now went home and began to pray about the condition. And my eyes were open. I saw a spirit, the height of this ceiling. Are you with me? Looking down like that with cat, that's the last time. I've seen demons. I've seen most of them look like monkeys, some like dogs, strange like that. But I've never seen a being like this. Now, I saw that being standing before me, and I began to pray in tongues for about 25 minutes because I didn't know what to do. And after 25 minutes, the being spoke, but not by the use of the mouth. Spoke, and I picked it up through my thoughts. I said, young man, if we ever get you, you will not survive it. And you know, I didn't allow him to speak last. I said, why not get me now? But I must tell you that sight left an impression on my heart. Now, so I told the young lady, it's better off for you not to see the things that God... Seeing it doesn't give you any advantage. Are you with me? Okay, that I saw that being now. Many times, when battles go on around our lives, God actually doesn't even allow us to see those battles. And so the perspective from whence David, in the book of Psalms 106, was requesting that we should give thanks to God, was not on the basis of the things that we see and know. Was not from the context of events that we can trace from source to finish. But it's much more related to things that we do not control, things that we do not know about, things that most of the time we don't get to see. I was on a tank farm in Tota, up there. There's no building close to this place that I can use as an example to depict the height that I was standing on. And there was some, you know, sometimes I would have see, the Lord gave you understanding. David was calling us to a place of thanksgiving. Not just because of the t-shirt that somebody gave you, or because of the spare tire that you received when your own gave way, and there was somebody just there when the thing happened, and he now gave you another tire to replace the one you lost so that life can go on. Most often, the average believer believes or thinks that thanksgiving should be a function of something that God has done. And whenever, most times, thanks to God is described, is always in this context, giving God the glory for the things that He has done. And the mindset of the average believer is always goes to things that we have seen and things that we have known. Hallelujah. Let's read the scripture. Just, I'm full of praise. There was a time I was coming here. I told you that it was the fourth vehicle I entered that brought me to my alcove. Death was locking everywhere. But in my spirit, I knew when I prayed that God gave me peace about the journey. So I was in the car. We were dying. I think one of the reasons why God allowed the fourth vehicle to bring me was because there was death on the first one. So he grounded it. We moved, and the spirit moved too. There was death. In fact, the second one, I think three of out of the four wheels, death was driving them. Maybe only one wheel was left. We had to move. I only felt peace eventually when we were in the fourth one. But you see, I was not seeing the forces contending. The only thing I knew was the radar in my spirit that had already forecasted that my journey was a safe one. The logistics, the things that happened between and betwixt to ensure that reality was not within my own jurisdiction. And so David was calling us. And he is calling us today to the place of thanksgiving from a different perspective. And if you capture that perspective, your life will be characterized by voluntary thanksgiving. You know, I know we pray. So many times we think that I prayed, that's why it happened.
Meanwhile, I prayed many times, and the things I prayed about didn't happen. Oh, I know you have never prayed, and the thing you prayed about, every time you pray, things happen. But me, I prayed many times. Alright? And the things I pray about did not happen the way I expected it. Are you still with me? So many more times than not, our prayers are not within the accurate coordinates of the context of the will of God. Many times. But you know that your prayer may not be too accurate, and God might still, by an act of His mercy, decide to move just because you are tempted. Because I know somebody that felt like praying for his dad, alright, at 9 o'clock. Meanwhile, it was his mom that entered the garage to look for something. They put some food stuff in the garage. So she needed to pick some of the food stuff, and there was this mamba that had found solace close to the food stuff. And this intercessor was in Abuja. And the Spirit of the Lord traveled to Abuja and quickened him. Said, pray now. And his own perception of who the danger was targeted at, what was the dad. So he was praying for the dad. Lord, bring deliverance. Many times the coordinates are not set accurately. It only happened because God is merciful. If we were to follow prayer as if it were a graph, alright? If the coordinates are not set, you can be praying, but you are and praying amiss, and the impact of that prayer will not be felt. But you see, God, by an act of His mercy, the guy was praying for his father, releasing several things, and God used the raw materials of that prayer to minister to the woman, and she was there. She even came and kicked the mamba. You see, when you don't know, you don't have adequate knowledge of things, from the spirit realm, it's as if you are foolish. And the Bible says, we know not how to pray as we ought to. I can deduce two things from that scripture. Many times we don't even know what exactly to pray for as it is required for the condition. And many other times, we do not even know the extent to which we need to pray to facilitate a change. The lady came to the garage, hit the mamba, and felt like coming back again, hit again, and then was now standing. And she had a touch all this while, didn't use it. She was now standing, and I said, I came with touch. She now discovered that she was playing on the mamba, or that cold feeling, and she didn't have shoes on. The cold feeling she was actually feeling was a feeling of the mamba. But what the prayer of that guy did was he paralyzed the snake, made it inactive. And so David enjoins us, and he invites us to a place of thanksgiving, which is not a function of the t-shirt you received, the spare tire you received when your own busted. Giving thanks to God because of His partnership with us. And that partnership that He has with us makes Him go great lengths, even beyond the scope of our knowledge, to perform things on our behalf because of His good pleasure. Hallelujah. Now, can we read just a scripture? Psalms 106. Amen. I didn't hear your amen. Amen. Praise ye the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can show forth all His praise? Now, David is saying, it is impossible for you to be able to remember
let alone say everything that God has done for you. Just trying to make us understand that the issues that we need to praise God about is beyond the scope of your mind. Are you still with me? Because they who can utter the works of the Lord. And in order for you to be able to utter it, at least you must remember it. And I need you to understand that most of the acts of God are supernatural. I need to explain what that means. Hallelujah. Most of the acts of God are supernatural. Okay? Now, for instance, I was expected to write an exam, and on the strength of my own ability, I wouldn't have made that exam. So somehow, it was an interview, and you'll be put on the spot, and questions will be thrown at you, and you were supposed to produce answers to those questions quickly. In fact, because there were so many people online, you did not have so much time to think about the questions and to give answers. So if you waste too much time, your privilege to attend to the questions will wane. And it happened to be that a day before the examination, my brother-in-law came with a catalog of materials for me to read on the subject of emphasis. About 400 pages, downloaded it from the internet. Say, these are all the things you need to read. Now, you are trying to read 400 pages for an interview of 2 minutes. Hallelujah. Well, I read as much as I could. Then my elder brother now came and picked me up from home to the venue. And then he now brought one question. He asked a question. And he answered the question because I did not know the answer based on my reading of the 400 page material. Alright? We now went into the hall. The guy sitting by my side read applied chemistry. I read chemistry. They asked that guy by my side this question that was raised in the car. And the guy, meanwhile, this guy, I need to introduce this guy to you. This was the guy that was holding some materials. When I came into the place and I tried to collect one to read, he said, So that's the guy. All right. So, he was the guy by my side. Since they saw that we were almost in the same discipline, and that question was the question was that was within the context of our discipline, he was given the first shot, and that shot killed him. And when they saw that the shot killed him quick, and they wanted to kill as many people as quick as possible, they now directed the same shot to me. I sat down where? Because that was the only question that I knew the answer. So I sat well. And I mingled the knowledge with English, which is the only natural thing that flows through my veins. That's how I got the job that I'm doing today. You see, God was working through the circumstances, but you can look at it as something natural. Something that is supernatural is driven and powered by the hand of God, but is manifested through situations and circumstances. And you stand a chance to think that it was because of you. You stand a chance to despise God in the whole scenario because the super was actually revealed through the beggarly things of the natural. And on the strength of this, the average human being is not disposed to give God thanks. We thank God spontaneously when events take place that we believe are in our favor. But David is calling us to a higher pedestal in that spiritual act that is not dependent on an event, but is dependent on a partnership, the scope of which our mind cannot contain. Secondly, hallelujah. Are you with me? You may not know, but 2 years ago, I was attacked on my lungs. And if I want to pray and I pray for 5 minutes, all my strength in my body goes out. Hallelujah. I try to struggle and I become powerless. But you see, I'm a pastor. And a pastor must have to to carry out his assignment. In fact, when he comes like that, during the times that my lungs began to fail, when I come here, the counseling line, okay, is so long. And I knew that I lived every day in that season by the grace of God. Alright? I'm just trying to show you the limitation of man. It continued like that for about 3 weeks, and the strength was being drained out. But I still kept, I'll pray for 5 minutes, then I'll rest. Then I pray again for 5 minutes, I rest. I pray for 10 minutes, I rest. That's how I pray my own prayer. I pray and rest. Pray and rest. After about 3 weeks, I now discovered that I could pray for 30 minutes before I rest. It did not go instantly. It started going gradually. Many times, God allows some things to come our way so that we can really see our real size. We can really see how much we can perform without God. And that's why he almost always reminds David of the sheep coat, where he took him from. Because there's a great possibility that you may not understand that it was the hand of God that translated you from the backside of the wilderness and pedestaled you as a king and as an authority. Even in ministry, there's a level to which the anointing can come. And my God, you just think it just happens because you show up. But God gave me a good picture of how I can operate if his support was not there during the 3 weeks that I had to bear this burden of the lungs. I don't know, it was an arrow, I know. Hallelujah. And after 3 weeks, God took it away. But the memory of it was retained. And that memory becomes something that spontaneously facilitates thanksgiving to God. Hallelujah. Amen. I was somewhere and somebody came to me, a very senior minister, said, "The grace of God on your life now is splendid, is wonderful, that you have paid the price." I said, hold it. Now, I've seen people, there was this guy on campus those days, he fasts 21 days dry and he goes for lectures. He was on campus. He goes dry for 21 days. Then, and he has night vigil to support it. You know the person I'm talking about? Thank God you don't know him. So I can say it. Fast dry for 21 days. He came to me one evening and said, "There is power inside you." Hey! I said, "Power? I've not seen it." He said, "Let me tell you the way." He was the one that taught me how to fast. He said, "When you fast and you begin to feel like this, that is anointing." That guy was a fasting guru. When we finished youth service and I started working in Abuja, I found out that he was in, if you live life camp, what's it? Kado Estate. He ran away from his church because a lady was pregnant for him. Stop there. Don't let your mind not go where it wants to go. In my own opinion, Okay, you will not get what I want to say. Holy Ghost, help us today. That guy was terrible. Then an aunt discovered that to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of ram. I found out that the average believer here knows sacrifice very well. We know how to fast and pray. It's good though. Don't stop. I do a lot of it. Hallelujah. But there's something superior to your sacrifice. Just simply obeying God. And the average Christian doesn't do that. You see somebody, God is quickening him, beckoning on him to do something. He has his own perspective about it. And God will not push you for long. And you miss steps and points in the spirit realm. Promotions in the spirit realm, you miss it. Hallelujah. That guy taught me how to fast. Many years later, the guy now came here and attended one of our meetings. And after the meeting, we met in the office. I didn't want the meeting to be so long because it will bring memories. The truth of the matter is that I'm in no wise better than that guy. That guy is stronger than me. Do you understand? That's why I stopped that person that was trying to say, you pay the price. That's why you are here. No. It is because of God's mercy. Because I don't think that the outcome of such rigorous fasting after a few years should be that somebody is pregnant for him, which is not his wife. I've seen the strong fall. I've seen the mighty lose their way. And I take sides with the great wise man that said that the race is not to the swift, and the battle not to the strong. Just in case you become strong tomorrow, please remember where God took you from the sheep coat. And let that be a close companion that parlays your heart into humility. Hallelujah. We came today to give him glory. He has been faithful. We came to give him honor. He has been faithful. There was a time I didn't pray for 4 days. Alright? And I was invited to preach. The anointing I saw. Jesus, it was as if I was carrying a tennis ball on my hand. I was wild in the Holy Ghost. Then I came back, I said, where did it come from? None of us is too strong. But when God is pleased with you, when you find favor before him, he clothes you with glory. And we need to acknowledge that there are people that are better off in sacrifice, that have done more, that are way behind where we are today. And we need to give God glory. Hallelujah. David wants to call our attention to an emphasis right here. Can we go back to verse 2 and verse 3? He reveals a limitation. Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can show forth all his praise? Blessed are they that keep judgment, and he that doeth righteousness at all times. We are going to jump from here. We'll go to another psalm before we come back. Because if you look, you may not see the connection between verse 2 and verse 3. But we may need to open it up a little for us to see
the import of the psalmist's emphasis. I have seen the mercy of God. Hallelujah. I went back to my diary recently, where I wrote the things that God said in 2003. I stumbled on the diary. And I discovered that I'm living in the reality of those things. Alright? In fact, the things he told me in 2003, I've lived it. I saw 2004. I've lived it. 2005. I've lived it. 2006. I'm still in the midst of it. And then the recent ones are still in the future. Hallelujah. And it happened to be that this diary got lost. Now, when God told me, you will do this, we do this, we do this, we do this. 8 things. Alright? And I say, I don't have the ability to do any of these ones. Besides, I'm a stammerer. Then the diary got lost. Then I found it 5 years later and saw that I was doing everything that he said. So it was not because I was conscious of what I wrote down. Are you still with me? It was not the consciousness of what I wrote down that made it work out. But it was that I was in partnership. I followed God diligently. That must be acknowledged. But I was in partnership with a God that could not lie. See, as I diligently followed him, unconsciously, I was working out the things that he said I will do. Together. One of the reasons why David caused the generation of the children of Israel to dwell and to labor perpetually in thanksgiving is because of God's faithfulness. He spoke, I received it, the diaries got lost, I forgot about it, I just kept following God, and everything he said, I began to walk in it without looking at the manual. Are you with me? Do you realize that if you and I walk consistently with the Holy Spirit day by day, you don't need a prophecy. You don't need a prophecy. I know prophecy has so many advantages. It can come to you to alert you, to prepare you for something that is about to come. It can come to you when you are depressed, to encourage you. It can come to strengthen you and all of that. Alright? We are not by any means belittling the necessity for prophecy. I'm just saying that, you see, God has a nature of faithfulness. And even if you don't have so much of a clue as to what the outcome will be, if you can find security in God and follow him daily, you will fulfill your destiny. And that is only a possibility because God is a personality that is faithful to all generations. And one of the reasons why David calls us to the place of thanksgiving is because of the nature of God and his unique character of faithfulness. I've seen people that serve the devil. They serve the devil with their families. They serve the devil with their children. They serve the devil with their lives. They serve the devil with everything that they have. And they were expecting the devil to be faithful. They were expecting Satan to keep his own side of the deal. And when the time came where they needed Satan most to bring his stamp unto, he was nowhere to be found. So David says, if only you have an understanding of the faithfulness of God, O Israel, you will perpetually live a life of thanksgiving to the great one. Hallelujah. I know how many times I've escaped death. Just coming from Lagos to Makurdi in 1 year. How many times? And I don't tell the story because I tried my wife one day. I told her, she saw me pacing around. I said, oh my God, what's wrong with this man? So I said, alright, okay. When I told her that one, I knew it was a mistake.
hypertension would have set in. But the great one still delivered us. Hallelujah. No capacity to. Hallelujah. He's faithful. We were seven friends on campus. We used to play together on the football field. It was a great time of companionship because it was scheduled by God. It was very easy to confirm whether God was in something, in somebody's life or not. Easiest way, when you come to that seven-member committee that the Holy Spirit himself put together. And if it happens to be that you are the only one that has that idea, and all these spiritual men do not have the same idea with you, it was enough proof that you were about to embark on a journey of your own devising, and that God's feet was not with you. Hallelujah. It was easy to confirm things that God was doing, because these guys were spiritual guys that were operating in the gifts of the Spirit in a measure. They understood the voice of God in a measure too. And so direction was a blessing that we had in that little community. But the time came when things began to change. I don't know how the devil was able to make his way into the band. But at the end of the day, the team broke. And it's a team of spiritual people. All of them still speak in tongues and prophesy. All of them still pray for the sick. And the sick gets healed. And so it was very difficult to decipher what exactly, who exactly is accurate with God. And you see, in those kind of situations, it is wise for you not to try to be a judge. The only thing you can do in such a condition is to make sure that your heart is right. Hallelujah. 5 years down the road, all the different colors of the rainbow began to manifest. Hallelujah. It became obvious that the path that somebody took was the wrong path. It became obvious that the path that Mr. B took was the wrong path. Then there were two guys in the band that still kept the unity of the faith. They kept the bond of peace. They overlooked the things that the devil had orchestrated. And they still decided that this thing that God put together, the purpose for bringing this bond together, has not yet been accomplished. So the devil doesn't have a right to fragment it. So those two guys continued working together till this day. And it happened to be that only those two guys had a smooth sail in their work with God. I'm trying to hide many details so that you will not know the people. Amen? Now, the truth is this. God is faithful. But when a man's heart deviates from God, the ways of God, because of God's faithfulness, he will allow you. Hallelujah. He's faithful to his word. He's faithful to his will. He doesn't take sides with people. He only takes sides with his will. Hallelujah. We as mere mortals could not discern which side of the balance God was on. And the only thing we could do was to understand the state of our hearts and what was actually influencing the posture of our hearts before God. Time revealed it. Why? Because God is faithful. Just in case you are in this auditorium today, it's difficult to tell where you are with God. Time will reveal it to everybody. And that's why when you are doing business with God, because he's faithful, it's needful for you to be in alignment with him. I've seen several anointed people that just waved out of the alignment bracket. And 10 years later, that little wave out of the alignment bracket became a divergent movement. Out of thought with the direction of the Holy Spirit. Because God is what? I've seen things. And David said, if we truly have understanding, we'll sustain a culture of thanksgiving toward God, acknowledging that what we have become is not our design. We are here because of the faithfulness of God. Hallelujah. He will be true to his word. He will be true. Just in case you see somebody's life not actually represent the position of Scripture, God is not the cause. His heart was out of alignment with God. Just in case you are in a situation that you have found out that you don't have the capacity to change, there is only one thing I need to suggest to you. Always keep your heart right with God. If you keep your heart right with God in that situation, the great one, the powerful one, in a few times along the road, he will bring about an intervention and it will be clear that he has highly favored you. Hallelujah. The psalmist calls us to thanksgiving, not as a practice that we ceremonially do once in a year, but as a lifestyle that is installed in our daily existence. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and for his mercies endureth forever. I want to give you 5 minutes to give him thanks. Meanwhile, I see somebody in this auditorium. You have been having a condition, a health challenge, and for what I see, it's like a belt on your stomach. It has something to do with the condition of your stomach. Hallelujah. Now, God is going to remove that belt in this meeting. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, many times when we come to God, we give God money and then we say, God, that money we gave you, your word says when you will bring money, you will give us back. Hallelujah. I want our knowledge of God to advance. Some of us consecrated our lives to God not expecting that God would give us anything. We came to God, we signed to serve him with all of our lives without attaching conditions. Because if he had attached conditions to our salvation, at least I'm one of the people that would not have qualified. Because I'm not strong enough. I'm not the best. I'm just hanging in the middle somewhere. Hallelujah. So if salvation is on the basis of strength, people like Tony will get it before me. People like Joshua will get it before me. So he related and made salvation available to us unconditionally. And I think the only accurate response to that unconditional gesture will also be an unconditional consecration to serve his will. Alright? That's how some of us started. And then somewhere along the line, God now began to speak. After so many years of selfless sacrifice in the kingdom of God, and we're enjoying to serve God selflessly, it became a lifestyle and a culture. And then somewhere along the line, one evening the Lord said, I will glorify you and I will multiply you. I said, no, I didn't plan for that. Because we were not taught those days that God could and God will. We were just there to serve and hold the fort and to die at our post. Jesus. And as billions of the kingdom, we were ready so to do. When we had imbibed the culture of sacrifice in the kingdom, without attaching any condition to serving God, the great one, it now pleased him to commit himself by a promise out of nothing I will pedestal you. And when you speak, many nations will hear you. I said, God, I don't know. Maybe this message is addressed to somebody else. I don't look like it. Because I was born a stammerer and I struggled with it for a long time. So I didn't consider myself a preacher, but I used to teach the Bible. That was the best I could do with my stammering. And he was saying that I'm going to put you on a pedestal. And when you speak, nations will hear you. And many years later, he said, just in case you are confused, I will make you a great speaker and an orator. Oh my God. And it came to pass. In a moment of time, I found that I could paint every color of my heart sustained with words. So much so that when there are sometimes the anointing comes on the tongue so strong that I saw leaders, great leaders, weep when the gospel went forth. I'm talking about utterance. That spirit energized communication that communicates and relates the heart of God to the heart of man. I saw it operate in the life of a man that was born a stammerer. Now, see, David wants to call us into an understanding. See, it's not about you. It's not about the school you went to, whether you went to university or not, or the name of your family, or whether you are from a royal line. Hallelujah. And I began to see that manifest. And the journey with God became more interesting. Oh my God. Now, Pastor Edoko here, we were boys under him. Pastor, wave your hand, let them see. We were boys under him. You see, I've told him not to be sitting there. We were boys under him 13 years ago, preaching the gospel in Idomaland. And he went to fast and pray. He came out of his fasting and came to me one day and said, God told me you will not lack money in your ministry. You had to behold me those days. Alright? If you had seen me those days, there's so much reason to doubt that one. You know, there's a scripture I like so much. The Bible called Jesus a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Someone that has suffered so much that he was used to suffering. He had embraced it. He loved it. And he came with the voice of God. You will not lack money in your ministry. And God began to give promises. Alright, and those promises were encouragements to continue the kingdom journey. But the journey was not because of the promises, but somehow the promises came all the same. The average Christian today has a wrong orientation. He's going to God because he's expecting that God will do something for him. That is good if you are still a babe. But don't remain a babe for too long because babes die easily. They die without reason. The Bible says that in Ramah, Bethel was crying for her children. Refused to be comforted because the children are no more. And the reason why the children died was because they were babes at the wrong time. When you come into maturity in the kingdom, you leave that pedestal and you want your life to serve the will of God. In fact, you get your vision, you get your goal from God's will, your perception of God's will for you. That's where you get your goal from. That's where you get your dream from. That's where you get your vision from. That's where you get what to run from. That's where you get what to apply your heart to. Not your own design. Went for a conference, they say dream. And when you dream, dream big. Say, turn the dream machine on. So I said, God, give me the move. You know, because me, I was crazy in my give me the moon. Jesus. Please, you don't need the moon. Alright? What you need is to follow Jesus. without any other agenda attached. And the promises began to come. And it was encouraging. The journey continued. And then when the manifestation started taking place, the physical manifestations that began to find expression were not because of what had formed on the inside. Those physical manifestations could not displace the faithfulness, displace the relationship with God that had been built over the years. And those physical manifestations cannot be the basis of security right now, because I have found security in Christ. Are you with me? If you go and if you manage physical things, physical resources, financial resources, other than this template that I've testified about, where God makes you bigger than the things you have, because if you don't see beyond them, you are not bigger than them. You cannot pastor a church full of ladies if you don't see beyond ladies. God will not even... Do you understand what I'm talking about? You can't drive a car, a small car, alright, and still be in order in your work with God. Because there was a pastor that got a car before time, and his ministry deviated to today just because something came in that his heart was not yet cultured to receive and for him to still maintain alignment and devotion to God. If you have been reading the pages of the Bible, you would have come to discover that the sum total of the life of man has already been judged and God has already testified about it. See, there are so many examples. So that sometimes you hear the Bible say the way of the sinner. Have you seen those kind of things before? The way of the righteous. Now, what God is, anytime you see that, the way of, the ways of God. You see those kind of statements, calm down. He's just giving you a scenario of the fact that if you have begun on the way of sinners, the end point is clear. Do you understand? If I have stumbled on the way of sinners, the Bible will show you your end point. If you are walking on the way of the righteous, the Bible also can testify about your end point, so that you are not afraid of the outcome of your life, even if you cannot see it physically. At the end of the day, you come to realize if your walk with God is healthy, that the God you have been walking with is faithful. So the second reason why David calls us, I know there are a lot of contradictions around your life now. Some people say, I'm not yet married, and pastor is saying, walking with God. Some people say, oh my God, I'm... Some of us found the women to marry in the field of service. As we were just advancing, a season came where God found it. He had liberty to now say, this person will work with you. Alright? I don't know your story. Victor, I don't know your story. But me, I didn't fast for wife. I heard you fasted a lot. Maybe you included fasting in looking for a wife. No, me, no. I fasted for other things. I knew that if my work with God, you know the reason why I had that audacity? The things I wrote in my diary that got lost, I found them 3 years later and I was leaving them. So I said, okay, it means that there are other things that I don't know that are written in the diaries in heaven, and one of which is my wife. I will not pray for it. The same way I didn't pray for those things to happen, I wasn't even conscious of them, and they came to pass. I'm going to keep working with God. And as I keep working with him, that day will come where he feels that. Okay, this young man, all right, look this way. Let that be his responsibility. Because he occupies the jurisdiction that makes him manage things that I don't know. I didn't fast. And when the time came and God showed me, I said, no, I can't go there. I told you I want a felony. This is the height I've been telling you about. Jesus. It took 1 month to convince me. This is a special case. That's why those your factors could not work. The coordinates couldn't enter. Hallelujah. I had money, I wanted to go to Kaduna to buy a car. God now spoke to me in the bank. Empty the account. Give me all that money. I said, no. I won't give you. This is the first time I'm making 165,000. Now you are saying I should give you. When will I enjoy? I've been laboring. I was at the backside of the wilderness. The magicians in order to go nearly killed me. For the first time, the rays of the sun are about to shine upon my face, and you want me to perpetually live in squalor. My God. Then it occurred to me that that was not the best God could do. He could do more. I said, oh, sorry. I gave the money out. When I gave the money out, I wanted to buy a Corolla with two doors. You know that first lady? With two doors to cruise around. Hallelujah. In the place of prayer, after I obeyed God, after the fight, and then God won. In the place of prayer, I was praying, and then I saw a car. That one had four doors. So what are you saying now? But he didn't explain. I went to preach, and I came back from Kano in the night to meet a car key. They said, somebody brought this car for you. Honda with four doors. And guess what? When the Honda came, I didn't pray for 1 week. Because I gave my life to Honda. Oh my God. Jesus. I was everywhere. In the filling station, I horn. Ah! Hey! I'm here! And after 1 week, God was waiting for me. Drove the car for 1 week. Meanwhile, a week before, in the home fellowship, I told them, go bring the dead, bring the cripples, bring the blind, and the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God. And they believed me, and they went out looking for the dead. They didn't see that day. No dead that day. At least they saw a cripple. And I drove my Honda. When I came to the gate of the home fellowship, I honed. I used to check him before, but now I'm here. My God. Tell your neighbor I'm here. I just came back from the backside of the wilderness. I've been in silence for too long. Now it's time to speak. I'm here. I drove my car in and I came with a limp into the fellowship hall. Jesus. There was a limp on the left leg. And I was still limping in tongues when they smuggled the cripple into the hall. And the prayer boy changed instantly. I said, God, if you deliver me this one time, those things we discussed that I've been troubling you about, those things we discussed that you wanted, I release myself. I'll follow it. Hey. The truth is this. The walk has not been very consistent. Hallelujah. There are some times we veer off. Okay? It's because David's perspective of faithfulness is that even if by your own will, or maybe you are seduced by something, and you veer off, God stands in the capacity of a hunter. He will look for you until he gets you back. For 1 week, I gave my life to Honda. And here was a cripple. And she was very crippled. So I knelt down. And I prayed quietly, not loudly. That the things that he requested for me last week that I refused, if by any means this guest walks today. Amen. And then his voice now came. For 1 week, I didn't hear God. For 1 week. His voice came back. He said, I have healed her. I said, what? You did what? Healed. Oh my God. Then I stood up. Then I remembered. The last time I fasted was 3 weeks ago. And in the fasting, on the second day of the fast, I saw a vision. I raised a female cripple. So when God said, I have healed her, and I looked, that's when I noticed she was female. Oh my God. I went there and said, Jesus say, stand up. And I heard her. She fell down. I said, I didn't say he said fall down. I said, what? Rise up. She fell again and fell away. The second time. And I said, oh my God. I held her like that. Then I kicked the seat away. I pushed her. And she staggered. And she started running the hall. The women that brought her started crying. And I went back to my Honda. No grace. We didn't share the grace again. But when I got into the Honda this time, I knew that I had entered a covenant with God that has reduced the Honda to size. I pray today that a covenant that you will enter into with God will bring everything that has played God over your life to size. In the name of Jesus Christ. And just in case your case is like mine, you have veered off. But you still speak in tongues and prophesy sometimes. The hunter will get you back. In Jesus' mighty name. David speaks us of faithfulness. That even when we become unfaithful, because of the nature and character of God's faithfulness, he overwhelms us with that his character. And he still brings us back to his place of favor. How much money can you pay to see a vision? How much money can you pay to see that danger that is about to come? And what you need to do to survive the attack? I speak of one that knows the end from the beginning. He relates with the present condition from his knowledge of the end of the matter. And so the perspective of God is always different from the perspective of the average man. It takes so many years of the renewing of the mind to be able to comprehend God's perspective concerning issues. In order for you to be able to say, because the Bible says, at that point, Samuel had not yet known God. It takes a lot of time for you to say on a very liberal note that I know God. Because his ways of thinking, he views the situation from the perspective of the end, and you are just coming into it, trying to design it from what you have designed it to be. Can't you see that there's so much lack of knowledge in our dealings on a daily basis and even in our dealings in spiritual things? And if you find yourself being elevated, it's because you are in partnership with the God that is faithful. And David calls us to give him thanks. Play something for me quickly. I feel the Holy Ghost coming into this hall. Hallelujah. Say, no one can recount his mighty acts. No one can truly proclaim as he ought his praise. For his mercies endureth forever. Ebenezer, we thank you. Many times we lifted up our eyes to the hills and help came. Where you are seated, I'd like you to give him thanks. Give him thanks. Give him thanks. So Hela Toskema Izalantomina. Le Sotela Abraskantonia Vazala. Mahiska Fronze Malabraskatomana. Shehela Braska Vose Natalila Habanda. The race is not to the swift, and the battle is not to the strong. Zehila branske bahalela. Manda soketa funza na braska toza na halai. We give you praise. Have you ever imagined what you would have been by now if you had not known Jesus? Can you still reflect back on those times when you veered off and he went like a hunter a skilled hunter. He knew where to hit to make you cry. He knew where to touch to make you break down in repentance. He's a faithful God.
Hallelujah. We give you glory. We give you praise.
Give him glory. Give him praise. Exalt him. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We give you glory. Cast your mind back to when you were 12, when you were 17. Cast your mind back when you were 21. Everything that you considered your confidence is not what had led you this far. It's because there is one that is faithful. That's his nature. That's his character. That's what he does. That's how he is. Partnership with him is what has resulted in the goodness that we see. We give you glory. We take it to heart to proclaim your goodness, your kindness, and your majesty. Hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name.
Give you praise. Thank you, Lord. 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 I give you glory. I give you honor. I give you praise. Thank you. Thank you. A personal word from your heart to God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. From the depth of our being, we say thank you, Lord. With all our hearts, oh God, we say thank you. We say thank you. 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 In Jesus' name.
This is what David calls us into as a daily practice. Where we learn to say thank you from the depth of our being. Not in a language that the pastor puts upon our lips, but the very mutterings of our hearts, knowing that at our best we are insufficient, but God comes to partner with us. He brings his all-sufficient dimensions, and then a supernatural life is made manifest. A life that you know you did not live by your strength. This is a testimony of the Christian faith. We give you glory.
We give you praise. We give you praise. In Jesus' name.
Now, I saw something. I'm seeing a family here that sickness has come to dwell with you people. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Sickness has come to dwell with you people. Just like you can count firstborn, secondborn, thirdborn, sickness has is also numbered among you. I mean a situation of affliction that has that is has been resident for a long time. That's what I say. Sickness has come to take residence. And God wants to remove it. It doesn't matter if the person that is sick in that family is here. But I'm talking about a family that sickness has come to take residence in. If that describes the condition of your family, can you come? Let's pray together. Just step out of your seat. Now, listen to me. It's not from this room. If you have a condition like that, and you are here, I'm not talking to you. God wants to take away something this day. Oh my God. He wants to take away something. Now, anywhere you are standing, can you pray for these ones? Can you pray? Just pray. Just pray for them, please. In the next 2 minutes, okay? Sickness has come to take residence. Sickness has come to take residence. Pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Lord Jesus, we thank you today. Thank you for your people. I stand with them in faith tonight concerning this condition in their families. As a congregation, we stand with them. We ask, O God, that your hand of mercy will leave this place and initiate a work of recovery in these families in the name of Jesus Christ. Honor our prayers today. And as we lay hands on them, Lord, honor our prayers in the name of Jesus. Please help me. Help me. Help me.